there. They're all living the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas! Viva!
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to Cats with the Dish, but without the dish. It's John Katzalamidis flying so low because Tricia McCrone is in Canada or Montana or some other third world country. I'm not sure. I think she's in Montana and she's on Flathead Lake, or if she's not in Chicago, or she might be in town. I don't know at this broadcast, but I'm flying solo, as I said, and my guest this week is one of our favorites. She's been on the show a couple times, I believe, two at least, and she is leaving us because I can't talk her out of it. She's been in Vegas, the show, since the show opened in 2010. She's grown to become the principal dancer in that show and one of the highlights of that production and any production in Las Vegas. My friend, Tara Palsha. Tara, welcome back to the studio.
Yay, thank you.
There's a lot of pressure on you being the only guest, the only other person in this room.
I know, I feel.
It's kind of interrogation-like, isn't
it? It's okay, let's bring it on, let's go.
Okay, do you have an alibi? Where were you on June 4th?
Exactly. Reading your column.
Yeah, that's. I pull a random. It's not random. I'm staring right at it, that date. So let's talk about what you're up to right now. You are leaving the show.
I am leaving the show.
And also Las Vegas.
Yes.
What the hell's going on?
Well, you know, I've been singing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And
in public.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so it's time to go to a land where maybe they don't know that I'm a dancer first.
Now, you are heading to New York.
I am.
Your last show with the Vegas The Show cast is July 25th.
July 25th.
And you're going off to New York.
Yes, on the 30th.
On the 30th. Now, this is a decision that is in part professional, but in part personal.
Correct.
Which overrides the other? If it weren't for the personal, would you be making the professional decision?
Well, this is what's interesting about this whole journey is when I first moved to Las Vegas, I rented my furniture and I took a 6-month contract at Jubilee with the intention of moving to New York City. That was my intention. I'm going to make a little money. I'm going to stay here while, you know, it's winter, and then I'll move back to the city when it starts to get warm.
Right.
11 years later, you know, the universe had a different plan for me. So now that I found a beautiful man in my life that also shares common interests, he's kind of pushing me to actually take the leap finally.
The common interest, and one of those common interests, is being beautiful.
Oh.
Scott Motes.
Yes, he is very beautiful.
He walked right off a fashion magazine. This guy's incredible. I don't mind saying it. As a straight guy, he just needs to be attached to somebody. We can't have him in play. He needs to be out of play. We can't have him in the field.
He's out of play. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, he's got to be out. Can't be in the field. Just know that. Can't. I say the same thing about Strickland for other reasons.
Yes.
keep them out of play. But yeah, this is obviously you're engaged, you two.
Yes.
And you got engaged on New Year's Eve.
Christmas.
Okay. It was Christmas Eve. Oh, I had that
wrong. Yeah, that's okay. It's all right. You're close.
I was right on the same week. Usually, well, last year they came on the same week. And how did, let's just go through that part of it while we're on it, is how did you guys meet and what is, tell me about the evolution of that whole relationship.
Well, a girlfriend actually introduced us.
You had a girlfriend at the time?
No, my girlfriend in the show. And she said, you know, I have this model guy that I'd like to introduce to you. And I said,
This is somebody in Vegas, the show?
Yeah.
Who was it?
Her name's Leah Sykes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Leah introduced you.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then I was kind of not interested knowing that he was a model. But then once she said, you know, his journey and his story, he was just discovered recently and, you know, that he owned his own business and that he was new to Vegas. These are all things that piqued my interest. And so she invited him to the show. And what's interesting about the whole story is I knew I was being set up with him, but he did not know he was being set up with me.
Okay.
So I thought that he knew he was being set up with me. So I put my best foot forward, probably more chatty than I normally am aggressive. After the show. Mm-hmm. But he, I guess apparently what he says is that while he was in the audience, he said, well, I wonder what it would be like to date that girl. And
pointing
it was
to
me.
You.
Yes. Okay. So unfortunately at the time I was like crazy busy, like really busy, and didn't have a whole lot of time to date. It mm-hmm. was, you know, mm-hmm. during the evolution of BBR.
Right.
And right. Mm-hmm. I went on, we had a date and it was the best date ever. But then we kind of, you know, he was moving to Milan and mm-hmm. first stopped to New York and I was on a cruise ship. But when I got back from that, I kind of took a big breath of air and said, oh boy, I need to re-examine.
Right.
So we started messaging back and forth and he made a flight back to Vegas from New York City. To see what the .. was that mm-hmm. we were both feeling.
Yeah.
And then from that point forward, it was full blown.
Love story.
Yeah.
So, and at what point did you decide you were going to actually make a move? When did you decide to leave Las Vegas?
Well, we've been talking about it since we've been together because when I found out that he loves New York as much as I do and it really got the motors running again. And, you know, it's something that's always been buried. And now I have the support system and someone to kind of tackle this huge, scary goal of mine.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're in one of the, as we've said, and you're one of the busiest performers in the city and have been for a long time.
Yes.
You're in a position in a show that you have a lot of work naturally built into your schedule, but you're also, you know, well known now in Las Vegas. It's a secure position. It's a prominent position. You're in a show that is very highly regarded.
Yes.
That's solid.
Yes.
A lot of people are working to get to that point.
I know.
A lot of people come, and you're one of them, came to Las Vegas, you know. Maybe not exactly with that in mind, with that type of lifestyle in mind.
Right.
And you're giving all that up. So what, in a professional capacity, what is next for you in New York right now?
Yeah, I'm probably going to get a little deep on you for a second, but I've been going through this journey and trying to figure out, you know, why I feel the need that this isn't enough for me, you know, because mm-hmm. most people would say, are you crazy? You know, everybody's striving to do
that.
Yeah.
Saying it.
Yeah, I mean, even friends I have that have done Broadway are saying, even being on Broadway, you still strive to get a role like you have in Las Vegas, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
so right. it kind of has shifted my brain a little bit and thinking like, ooh.
We have a lot of Broadway performers in Las
Absolute,
Vegas.
Absolutely. A lot of them are close friends of mm-hmm. mine. But I think the common thing that they all say to me is you have to try it. If you haven't tried it, you have to at least give it a shot, you know? But it is an interesting position that I'm in because I'm kind of working backwards from most Broadway performers. They would strive to get a lead role, you know what I mean?
Right.
And it wouldn't necessarily matter where it was. But what I say to what I've been saying to everybody is there's a voice inside of me that hasn't been released. And, you know, I need to speak and follow this journey mm-hmm. of singing or acting.
There's literally a voice.
There's a lot more than the mute dancer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm known in this town as a dancer, and I'm not sure if I could break that barrier.
Then this is the way to find out.
When
somebody's looking at you without a preconceived
yes.
idea.
Yes.
And you're going to go after roles that deal with your singing, deal with your dancing.
Exactly.
The whole package.
Yeah, because I figure, you know, oh, if I go into an audition and the singing doesn't work, then I'll just go to the same audition as a dancer.
Right. We're going to take a quick break
okay.
here, TP.
Okay.
And stick around. John Castellanos with Tara Paltz Show.
Viva! Viva! Las Vegas!
Hi, this is Pia Zadora, and you're listening to Cats with the Dish.
Welcome back. Sitting with me now is the red-headed principal dancer of Vegas the show, green-dressed. What's the, and the Red Hots is the other
yes.
costume, right?
Yes.
It wasn't always the Red Hots.
No,
was
it was Good and Plenty
good
first.
And, plenty.
And then Tiger said, oh my goodness, Red Hots, hello.
I remember that. When, I think there was like a general idea, like why isn't she in the Red Hots outfit?
Yeah, we didn't have Red Hots at the time.
It doesn't matter. You brought up a term, the mute dancer. You're a very well-trained dancer and been a dancer all your life. At what point did you decide you were going to sing exactly? I remember when you sang. It was at the dispensary, I believe, was the first time you sang in public that night at the little jazz club on Tropin Eastern. I think that was the first time,
Was it my first,
I have video of this. You know that? I've got video of that?
Yes.
Yeah.
We've come a long way since then.
I thought it was fantastic.
Aw, thanks, Johnny. You're so sweet.
It was good. I mean, you know, it was what it was. It was in its environment.
Yeah,
you know,
and intimate and scary.
Dispensary is a cool place, but it is not exactly Carnegie Hall.
Right, exactly.
No offense to either Carnegie Hall or the dispensary. Let's get that out there. What was the catalyst? Why did you decide to start singing?
Like I said, it's something that's always kind of been inside of me. My mother would argue with me that I've always sung, and I guess I have. You know, I've always taken lessons. I've always but I never had the gumption, the confidence to like kind of actually go for it until I met Bill Fain. And he had seen the show a few times and randomly, maybe not random on his part, but said, "Do you sing?" And I said, you know what? I do.
Right.
And then that's what started Bill's a wonderful all talent. Of this.
Bill's a wonderful talent. Yes. As most entertainment aficionados in Las Vegas know, he was Ken Holmes' music director for a long time and continues to work a very busy schedule in town as a composer and producer and all that.
Yeah.
So he took you and
I hold
started
him fully responsible for this.
Evolution. Like knowing that Bill doesn't have enough going on to be
exactly
perfectly connected to your success on Broadway. But,
you know, but he really helped to give me a place to go through this journey and all this, the fear and everything to get to the point where I feel really confident now, you know. And it's been over a span of 2 years of performing mostly with him and his shows that, you know, now I feel like I'm good to go.
What was the introductory into singing with him like? What were the songs you sang?
That's the thing with Bill is he's got me pinned down perfectly of what I should be doing. And even, for example, I'm building an audition book for New York City and he's like, "How about this song?" And then I go to my vocal coach and he's like, "Brilliant." So Bill has this knack, you know, this way of kind of picking material for me that's great. So the first time I did Bewitched, Bothered, and Bewildered, a little Rita Hayworth thing. And I also did 10 Cents a Dance, which is an oldie.
I think that was what you sang at the...
Yes, it is.
It was what you sang at the dispensary,
So, he kind of has lined me up. And now I'm doing things like Gwen Verdon medleys and... You know, kind of expanding more on the Broadway.
And that is the direction. You're not going to go off and be a rock and roll, fronting a band
There's
or anything
no
like
rock
that.
Living inside of me, unfortunately.
I want to
no
see
pop
that.
And no rock inside of Tara Paulson.
Good. I was wondering if you were entertaining any of that. I didn't know what direction you'd gone in singing since I've seen you sing most recently. When you go back to New York, you're going to be judged in a complete way. Is it harder to be judged for you and criticized as a dancer or a singer?
Dancer.
Really?
Yes. Because I put so much pressure on myself with that. And, you know, I think of a way that I am as a dancer. Where singing, I'm still kind of developing that. Yeah. And it's kind of like, what you see is what you get, jazz hands. But as a dancer, I'm kind of like, oh, I could have done this better, you know, constantly.
Do you feel like you have more control of your voice or your body as a performer?
My body.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, which is, I live in movement.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I was watching recently, I went to see Celine Dion, speaking of voices, and I felt like watching her and being in that room with her, she has control over her voice completely. And I feel like when I watch you dance, you have control of your body completely. You can probably do anything within reason as a dancer. I don't know how much more growth you could possibly have as a dancer.
I think there's more growth there, but when I've done this role for so long and it was completely, you know, catered for me, and I always kind of describe it like Tiger kind of painted the choreography on me. I mean, rarely do you get the opportunity that someone would work with you that closely to make it for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I'm going into a land where I have to fit into a role now, it's not, oh, let's cast her and make the role about her.
Yeah, that's the flip side of somebody not knowing you. They can't come in with an idea for you.
Which is
you're
scary.
Up there lined up. Yeah,
it's really scary.
I want to say this is a fearless move, but there is some
tons
reasonable
of fear
here.
Yeah. Major, because I wouldn't necessarily say that I'm the best auditioner either. A lot of the things that
you haven't had to audition. Really,
I haven't.
In a long
I haven't been on the grind, and a lot of the things that I've gotten along the way is because Jerry Mitchell saw me in another production, and Tiger Martinez saw me in Jerry Mitchell's production.
Mm-hmm.
So. You know, I think I shine mostly while I'm performing. So this is what's scary to me is going into an audition and getting them to believe that I'm the right person.
It's too bad you just can't take a DVD of it.
I know, right? But actually, a lot of submissions are happening via video and stuff now. So
yeah,
you never know.
How close were you to singing in Vegas' show?
I think we were pretty close.
I was feeling that apart from all this happening, that was your next thing.
David had talked to me about kind of expanding the Anne Margaret bit,
yes,
which I think would have been awesome because it's such a great little moment in the show, and I think it could use more attention.
Yeah,
Well,
it's right
Elvis
there. You're there in character, right on.
Yeah,
it would be another minute.
Yeah. So, then I also was training to understudy the Stacey Bone section as well.
I remember that.
So I was ready to go for that.
And you mentioned David. David is David Sachs,
yes,
the producer of the show. Tell me about you have mentioned an audition that is set up for a new show.
Not
New
quite
York.
Completely set up, but I'm just
for.
Waiting for the call. Yes.
What is it?
It's for Honeymoon in Vegas. They're looking for a showgirl that
showgirl
sings.
For the production of Honeymoon in Vegas. This is the line. You've come a long way, baby.
I mean,
you could have done that here.
I always say once a showgirl, always a showgirl. So that's why I think it's so interesting to even get the opportunity to go out and do that. I mean, I don't know.
I want to play a little game here with you, Tara.
Okay.
Jubilee, we've talked about.
Yeah.
But I want to name check the shows you've been in.
Sure.
And just get a snap response from you, a memory of that show, as I said. I'll start with Jubilee. Just your concise, what springs to mind as you look back on your career in Las Vegas? I say Jubilee. What do you remember most? That might be a tough one.
That's a hard one for me. Insecurity.
Yeah?
Yeah.
First job?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't,
and
really,
hard,
I
the
didn't
hardest.
Really quite fit in there very well.
Oh, you're not 5'7",
right? Well, I got in trouble a lot.
Or what is the height required? So you're not 5'8".
5'8".
And you're not 5'8".
I'm 5'7 and 3/4".
And you're I said this to you before, the first person I know who's not actually 5'8", who's been in that show. But yeah, you think you'd probably be able to handle it better now that you're on the other side of your career if you had to go back into the show?
I found out there, and I didn't realize at the time, that I'm not a chorus dancer.
Okay. Well, that's tough in that show.
Yeah, they just kept saying, you're sticking out, and it's not good. And I couldn't figure out what don't pop the head, Cassie kind of thing. But at the time, I was so upset about it.
All right. Next, you were in, was Bite next?
Yes.
Bite. What do you remember about Bite?
Dark.
It was
dark. Very dark, dark time.
There were bats left over from Bite.
Yeah.
I wrote about this recently. They were flying around the showroom. I don't know if they were from Bite or what.
I know.
After Bite
left. I still have my teeth. Sometimes I wear them for Halloween.
I won't tell Mullen you that. Where are my teeth?
Yeah.
Don't take my teeth
exactly.
to New York. You can't cross state lines with any piece of the Bite show or you will be arrested by the FBI. Okay, fantasy at the Luxor.
Does that have to be one word that I have
no,
to say?
No, not one word.
Oh, I thought that was the game.
No, just what springs to mind. No.
Okay.
Maybe I didn't explain the game.
I would say that's when I was seriously building my confidence as a dancer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was a really joyous time for
me.
Yeah.
I remember that's where I first saw you dance.
The cast was fabulous. Mm-hmm. I loved Anita Mand. I loved working for her as well, And she always flew us to L.A. It was exciting.
I want to tell you a story about Fantasy when you were in it. I saw you in it. And then after I saw that show, I was talking to somebody else who's really involved in entertainment in the city who's not connected to Fantasy.
Okay.
Okay. And
I said, I saw the fantasy show for the first time in a long time. I said, there's this redheaded woman in there. And, she said, I know who you're talking about. It's Tara Paulson. And I was watching that show and I'm thinking, what in the hell is she doing on that stage? She should be on Broadway.
Oh,
seriously,
no.
Hand up.
Way.
Honest to God. Okay. Peep Show from Fantasy to Peep Show.
That was it for me. I arrived.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Favorite scene?
Red Riding Hood. I mean, the just vehicle. The whole experience for me was just like, I literally felt like I was walking into a dream.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like little Cinderella. She was taken from down there on that side of the strip and put in, you know, Jimmy Choo's. Like, you know?
I had misunderstood that whole scene until you explained it to me. I thought the car had broken down already.
No.
Climbing out as some kind of sexy mechanic. But apparently you blew the engine up yourself.
Yeah, I still have scars from that show.
That changes my whole opinion of the show post-game. Yeah. They've talked about bringing Peep Show back in some form for a long time. I don't know if that's ever going to happen.
I don't know either.
Yeah, it's an interesting concept.
But I got my equity card there.
Ah.
Which allows me to go to New York, which is huge.
Oh, that's really important. Oh, yeah. I didn't know that. Well, that's huge.
And that was always a goal of mine, and I got it in Vegas.
Okay.
Love that.
You were in Rick Thomas's show.
Yeah, I swung in that show.
And? How'd that go
for you? Whoa, scary.
He had the white tigers in there.
Yeah, I mean, I got peed on by a tiger.
Oh, by a tiger. Not by Rick.
No, but he... He sliced almost through my leg a few times.
Oh, my God.
He got cut in half.
Now, that show was at the V Theater, right? The Thomas show?
No,
or was it
a Sax
Theater?
Oh, okay. Yeah, it was just a short stint.
Uh-huh.
So I just did that as well, just to kind of round out my Vegas experience, because I'm like, I have to be a magician's assistant.
You've been in that. When you look at it, you've been in Jubilee. You've been with the White Tigers.
Yeah.
You've been in two really sexy shows.
Yeah.
Fantasy and Peep Show. Peep Show being a very adventurous Broadway style
show.
So you've got a lot of.
Yeah.
They're going to find
and
that
And now
very
I'm in a family show of some sort. Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think we'd call Vegas a show. And tell me about Vegas a show and looking back on that. This is the signature show in Sax's empire.
Yes.
He's got like a dozen or something.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, I know this about David, is that he's not necessarily hardwired to bring out an individual as a centerpiece in any of his shows. He likes the collective to carry the show, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know that. And yet... people know you from Vegas, the show, just because your performances are so strong. Was it difficult to get to work through his preconceived strategy for staging a show and your own drive to be as good as you can be?
No. I never felt held back in any way. I really felt like I was given the opportunity to kind of showcase what I can do, which is awesome. And it's been such a beautiful journey. It's going to be it's the hardest thing I've ever had to do is leave this show, because I can't imagine not living in that green dress every night. I'm going to have nightmares about it for the rest of my life. I know it. Like, I'm like, can I just take that with me? And Tiger just wants me to leave my feet. He's like, you can go, but just leave your feet. You know,
have them bronzed.
So it's hard, you know, it's going to be difficult. It's been beautiful. They've really let me kind of develop my own thing within the parameters of what I've been given.
Is this, and this is probably a self-evident answer anyway, but is including singing in your skill set a way to elongate your career?
That's correct.
But, yeah. Because at some point, it's just like any athlete, it's going to be tough to dance. And
I'm not going to lie. I'm 36. You know, most people's dance careers are over by this point, and I'm so thankful that I'm healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And I do feel like I have a lot left in me, but I don't know if I have many more years of 12 shows a week in me.
Are you a better technical dancer than you were when you got here?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think I've gotten way better of a dancer. I think the ballroom helped a lot, too.
You've been in a lot of competitions. We've seen you in these.
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't like you necessarily overtly cheering.
No. They do.
Do they?
They just want you to cheer for someone else. That's
that's what those folks were. Or doing the wave.
Yeah,
even when I started the wave.
Exactly.
But are you going to be able to continue to train and learn as a dancer?
Absolutely.
In this context?
This is what I'm so excited about, too, is getting back to dance class on a regular basis. you know, maybe trying to explore some new things like tap dancing, which I'm terrible at. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's things that I'd like to, like, knock off. No, you don't want to.
Yeah.
It's not pretty.
It's a lost art.
Yeah. I can't relax my feet, so it's an issue.
It seems like tap dancing, you don't
want to. It's happening like crazy. All of the shows are tapping right now, so...
That's the area you're
Yeah.
As we wrap up, as we get into the last minute or so here, Tara, if you could consolidate, what is going to be the thing you miss most about the city?
The community. I mean, this entertainment community has been, like, I'm going to start crying. It's been, I have never, ever felt so embraced and supported. And I'm scared because I'm not sure what I'm moving into. And, you know, that's what lifts you as a performer, is the support system. So the Las Vegas entertainment community is like no other.
People always say that when they come from other areas, especially the Broadway community, is like, wow, you can really plug in here and it really closes around you, which works in all different ways.
Yeah.
You know, it affects your life, and we're in the middle of it. We've been in the middle of it for a while, but we're going to be missing you,
Tara Paul.
So I'll read to our audience the last line of the last column I wrote about Tara back on June 4th. Those who do know her know that the dancing redhead is a real keeper. From the Strip to 42nd Street, Tara Paulsha will always be that. Thank you for everything, Tara, and we'll keep track of you back in New York.
Thank you. Las Vegas!